then Israel has a right to defend itself is very clever. It was a very clever shubha because the premise is there. And what Iblis does is he sneaks in a premise, okay? And he covers it with emotion. The snuck premise is that you're the victim. Because only a victim defends himself. And the emotion there is that, hey, I'm attacked. Look how brilliant this was as a phrase, who came up with this? What marketing agency deserves $1 billion who came up with this, you know, a statement that really inside of it is all sorts of falsehood. Yes, everyone has a right to defend themselves. No one's going to say anything bad about that, but can't defend yourself, logically cannot defend yourself when you're an aggressor, right? So that's where the snuck premise is. So talk to us a little bit about the use of the tools that you've been working on dealing with atheists as they transfer over now to a real-time human conflict and all the misrepresentation, misinformation you've been seeing out there, false arguments that you've been seeing out there. Because I have others. We'll talk about another one, inshallah. But I want to hear from you first.
So with regards to the horrific situation that's happening at the moment, when people articulate a statement or a phrase, you should always understand that every statement, every phrase has its own presuppositions or assumptions. There is something logically that sits behind the phrase. For example, when they say Israel has a right to defend itself, we need to start thinking about, okay, intuitively that sounds okay, but what does that really mean? That means that there is an assumption that they are being attacked. There is an assumption that they are not the aggressor. There is an assumption that they have articulated this phrase and they're assuming that something has just started. So when you unpack these assumptions, you need to question, okay, are these assumptions coherent? Are they sound? Are they based on any evidence? So when we talk about the assumption that Israel is not the aggressor, then all you have to do is literally do a Google search and look at the multiple human rights organizations, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, read the books by Jewish academics like Ilan Pappe and Lowenstein and many others. They all conclude that for 70 years, more than 70 years, there's been an illegal occupation. For decades, there's been an apartheid regime. For decades, there was ethnic cleansing. When you look into, for example, the Nakba, you see that there are around, I think, 600 villages that were burnt to the ground. The wells were poisoned, so people can't return. Over around 750,000 Palestinians were actually ethnically cleansed with no right to return. When you start looking at various UN reports, you would see that these refugees have a legal right to return. So when you see the context of apartheid, of ethnic cleansing, of aggression, for example, before October the 7th, from around 2021 to August 2023, around 130 Palestinian children were killed in cold blood by IDF forces. Where was the international outrage? This is selective empathy, selective sympathy. So when you understand that there is a context where Israel is the aggressor and that the whole so-called conflict or crisis didn't begin on October the 7th, it reframes the whole narrative. And then you say, hold on a second. If you're the aggressor, the oppressor, the killer, you have taken hundreds of children into prison illegally, which is technically hostages. Where are all these Palestinian hostages, these children? No one's saying nothing about them. Where are the news channels talking about these children? So when you look at all of this evidence, genocide, apartheid, ethnic cleansing, even torture, and so on and so forth, you would now understand as the Zionist entity being the aggressor. Therefore, when they say we have a right to defend ourselves, it's ridiculous. It's like someone is assaulting somebody else, and the one who's committing the assault says, I have a right to defend myself against my victim. I mean, what kind of nonsense is this? Mohammed Hijab put it quite nicely on the Piers Morgan show. He said it's like a rapist defending themselves from their victim.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're already in an aggressive stance. They're already in an illegal stance, right? So that's one thing. The other thing is, which is connected to what I just said, it assumes that something has just began. No, we need to reframe the narrative and get them to realize, don't assume that the crisis started on October the 7th. We've had seven decades of illegal occupation, decades of apartheid, decades of killing, hundreds of children killed. One would argue even a whole decade of bombing, right? Mm-hmm. Every couple of years, Gaza has been, you know, literally carpet bombed. Mm-hmm. You have even Arab Israeli citizens being treated like third class citizens. You have Palestinians being treated, you know, worse than animals. So from this perspective, we see that there has been an ongoing aggression going on, okay? So what we've just done is we've reframed the narrative by saying, well, hold on a second. Your statement assumes that you are not the aggressor, that you're the victim. But in the grand cosmic scheme of things on this issue, you are actually the oppressor. You are tyrannical. Mm-hmm. You are a terrorist state. You're an apartheid state. And it reframes the whole narrative. And we say it didn't just start on October the 7th. So all you need to do is listen to a statement and understand, what does that statement assume? You unpack one, two, three assumptions, and then you question, are those assumptions sound? Do they have evidence for them? Are they coherent? Do they logically make sense? And then you look for any evidence for or against. And in this case, there's an overwhelming evidence against the false assumptions of the false statement of Israel has a right to defend itself. Yeah. So this is a very, very important way of dealing with things. Every time someone makes a statement, a presupposition or an assertion, understand there are assumptions behind that. You unpack what those assumptions are. You question if they have any justification, any evidence, and you question whether if they're logically coherent. And then once you unpack that, then you're able to basically respond in a particular way.